Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, and it seems like everyone's ready to get this draft started. I've always said, give me as much time to prepare for the draft as possible. I know we all get super excited about, like, let's get the draft here, but soon before you know it, we're going to hit about that mid-June standpoint to mid-July, and there's going to be about 6 weeks where we have nothing to talk about, really. Of course, we always have things to talk about here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast, 365 days a year, never stopping ever, but you get my point. So, like, this can drag out a little bit longer, and then we'll hit rookie mini-camps and OTAs, and then have that six-ish weeks where it gets a little bit dry, and then all of a sudden it's training camp and we start everything all over again. But 1 week from the draft, we are getting closer and closer. Today, we're going to be looking at some potential draft day trades, one of my favorite episodes to do every single year. Before we get there, shout out to Donald Gensler for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Also, we've been talking about the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers game. It is tomorrow, Friday. We are 1 day away. And you still have time to get your tickets. I'll put the link in all of the show notes, wherever you're listening. This is going to be super fun. We're going to do a 1 hour Q&A, talk about the draft, talk about the Packers, anything you guys want to discuss and go over. Hour before the game, then I'll be throwing out the first pitch. And then, of course, you get great Timber Rattlers baseball as well, all for $10 per ticket. So you can't go wrong. It's going to be worth it. So if you haven't got those tickets yet, make sure to do so. Again, this Friday, going to be a blast. Cannot wait to do that. But let's jump into our main topic now for today, and that is going to be those trades. We've gone over a lot of the prospects, right? And such a huge shout out to Ross Uglum for doing a variety of all the different prospects that he's done from the beginning of this daily draft endeavor up until now. And of course, he's got all next week as well. So we've gone over a ton of prospects. I've gone through some of the top prospects that are more likely in round one, but we've discussed the prospects. We've gone over all of Green Bay's tendencies. We've gone over the historical profiles for the draft picks that Green Bay has made. We have gone over building a big board out. If you missed yesterday's episode, check that out. And we'll go through the, you know, we went through the full big board of like how Green Bay could actually place that board together. We've done pretty much everything, but we have not done trades. And this is always what I think is super valuable to look at ahead of time, because as a GM, you need to know where you can get on the board. And of course, this is the time of year where GMs are getting on the phone. These times where you are actually on the clock have gotten shorter and shorter throughout the course of the past, I don't know, couple decades, where, you know, even in the first round, was it 10 minutes per pick? And then I think 7 and 5 or 12 and 10 and 7, whatever it is, they've shrunk pretty significantly to the point where you don't have a ton of time when you're actually on the clock to start constructing a trade from scratch. So GMs are putting together historical trade, boards of like what's happened in the past. They're looking at their individual charts. They've got their analytics team putting together where the value in the draft is, where the value's not, and how they value different areas of the draft. And then they have conversations with other GMs to say, hey, if this happens, would you be interested in having a conversation about such and such pick and all those sort of things? So this is the time of year where GMs do get on the phone and have these conversations and start looking at where they can get up to in the draft if certain situations play out, where they can get down to if certain situations play out. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing today, evaluating what trades could be out there for Green Bay, what trades could potentially make sense, and maybe even go over a couple potential player trades as well. As I've talked about in a previous episode, pick 25 has been an epicenter for trade activity. You would be hard pressed to find a pick that has been moved more recently than pick 25 in the draft. It is a pick that is moved up. It is a pick that is moved back, but it gets moved a lot. In 2023, it got moved twice. 2022, it moved up to pick 23. 2021, it was involved in a Jalen Ramsey trade. 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017, it was traded. Then you had a 3-year hiatus between 2014 and 16 in which it was not traded. 2013, it was involved in a Percy Harvin trade. 2012, it was traded. 2011, no trade. 2010, it was traded. 2009, no trade. Then 2008, 2007, 2006, and 2005, it was all traded for as well. That means 7 consecutive drafts, it has been involved in a trade. 14 of the past 20 years, it's been involved in a trade. And it has been traded 15 times in the past 19 years, because again, last year it got traded twice. So 15 times in the last 19 years, pick 25 has been dealt. That is pretty incredible. It has gone as high as pick 12. So that's, there's never been a time in the last 20 years where pick 25 is traded up higher than pick 12. So if you're looking for pick 11 or above, you're going to probably be left wanting a little bit. Don't expect Green Bay to go in that sort of range. And it's just been sort of unprecedented over that time frame. It has gone as far back as pick 76. We're going to discuss that trade in just a moment, because that is a very, very fun scenario. And we will talk about that. So as high as pick 12, as low as pick 76. And again, it's been traded 15 times in the last 19 years. In order to understand where Green Bay can get to, what they could move up, where they could move down, it's important to understand the draft picks that Green Bay actually has in this draft. You know, probably the premium ones, but they've got pick 25, 41, 58, 88, 91, 126, 169, 202, 219, 245, and 255. So Goody's got 11 overall draft picks to play with. He's got 5 in the top 91, and he has the ability to be massively flexible, moving up the board, moving down the board, a little bit of everything, a little bit of all of it. That's what I sort of expect to see from Goody, is a lot of movement up and down the draft board with all those selections that he does have at his disposal. Now, I think the first thing we need to discuss from there is who would Green Bay be interested in moving up for if they did want to move up? And we've discussed this on a couple different occasions in the past, but we'll go through it one more time here. There's really only two. I'll expand it a little bit here. But as I've talked about, Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, to me, scream out the most as the two most logical, likely trade candidates if Green Bay does, in fact, like both of those players. And I think they probably do. As I've talked about, Terrion Arnold is about the most 1A squeaky clean Packers draft profile that you could imagine. Position of need, both now and long term, yes. It is a premium position, a Power 5 conference with him coming from Alabama. It is a RAS over 8. It hits all the cornerback thresholds that Green Bay looks for. It hits everything. It hits absolutely everything. And that's why and then he's 22 or under as well, which is the other thing that they usually look for. So he's one of the very few players in this draft that does hit all of those metrics and just everything they look for. So he screams out as a player that Green Bay could easily be interested in. Quinyon Mitchell, basically all of the same, except for the fact that he comes from a smaller school, but that doesn't deter them entirely. In fact, one of the last times they moved up was for a player that was from a smaller school, which was Jordan Love. And that turned out pretty darn well. So Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold, just like I said, scream out to me as the two most likely players that Green Bay could move up for. Is it possible that there's an offensive lineman that they absolutely love and have fallen head over heels for and they want to go get that player? Sure. Troy Fautanu could make some sense, where he has that versatility, could be a tackle, might be a guard. Maybe Graham Barton, but I tend to not think so, but maybe Graham Barton could be somebody that they look to trade up a handful of spots for. But if there's an offensive lineman they love, I could see maybe them going in that direction. The other thing you have to look at there is the offensive line class is pretty deep, and there's likely going to be somebody there available at 25 that could very easily satiate what they're looking for without having to give up extra draft capital to move up to get an offensive lineman. Byron Murphy is another. Murphy's going to, I think, go pretty high in this draft. I think he might go top 12, if not top 15. So it's going to be probably pretty difficult for Green Bay to get involved in that conversation. Also, he does profile a little bit more as a 3 technique, where you do have Devontae Wyatt, you have Colby Wooden, you have Carl Brooks, LVN can kick inside, Kenny Clark can play that 3 technique a little bit. So that is the lesser position of need along the defensive line, but he is a premium player at a premium position. And if you're looking for a potential long-term Kenny Clark replacement, Murphy isn't exactly that, but he might be the closest thing in this draft. That's another player I could possibly see, but I think it's unlikely. And then maybe, just maybe, they could make a small move up for a Cooper DeJean as well. That's another one where I think he doesn't fit quite perfectly enough in order for them to be aggressive to move up and get him. I think he's there at pick 25. He's well within the realm of conversation, but I don't know that they'd actually move up for him. But those are the type of players, again, that I think Green Bay could maybe have some interest in moving up for. Terry Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, an offensive lineman that they fall in love with, Byron Murphy, or maybe a small move for Cooper DeJean. And then we could look at too, well, what if they go the opposite direction? Why would Green Bay want to move down? We've talked about this a little bit too, but it's basically that you get to your board and you look at it and there's 5, 6, 7, 8 players that have almost identical grades and you don't really have differentiators between the two. And you feel like, hey, if we can pick up a third round pick by moving down to pick 32 to get the same exact caliber player that we have on our board, if we were to hear, you know, select at pick 25, well, then you make that move, assuming somebody is interested in moving up and getting to pick 25 from one of those picks. So that would be the scenario, is you just get to 25, you've got enough players on your board that you know you can move down and get the same caliber player and pick up a top 100 pick in the process. That's exactly what Green Bay would be looking at if they were in that type of situation. All right, so for the rest of this, I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you wholeheartedly, this is going to get a bit nerdy. This is going to get a bit numbersy, and my apologies in advance. I'm going to try to go through all of these and explain them as best as possible so it's not just me throwing a ton of numbers. Obviously, these are trades that could, you know, kind of go through, and I'm not memorizing, you know, 25 different trades. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of reading here as well for those that are watching on YouTube. But I think this stuff is very interesting because anyone can sort of look, and we will do some of the Rich Hill trade chart stuff of where you can get to and where you could not. But I always love taking this a step further and saying, hey, let's find some actual trades that have happened in the past however many years, like 20 years, that could happen again this year. And it's so we're not guessing from like a trade value standpoint. These are trades that have actually happened. So let's go through it. Let's do it. In 2022, all right, it took pick 130 to go from pick 25 to pick 23. So in order to get up two spots for Green Bay, to go from pick 25 to pick 23, it would take about pick 130. Green Bay has pick 126. So that would be the deal that you'd be looking at in 2022. If you wanted to move up two spots to get your guy, it's likely going to cost Green Bay their fourth round pick. That's what happened in 2022. All right, in 2020, all right, the pick 25 was traded for three picks. It was traded for pick 31, pick 117, and pick 176. So 25 for 31, 117, and 176. So is there a team around there that makes sense that has similar type of picks? Oh, you bet there is. It's not exact, all right? But instead of 31, 117, and 176, San Francisco, they have 31 and 176. So they have those two picks exactly. Instead of 117, they have pick 124. It's probably not enough to break the deal there if Green Bay wanted to go in that direction. Whether or not Green Bay and San Francisco would be willing to make that trade, probably. We've seen Green Bay and Minnesota make trades. We've seen Minnesota trade TJ Hockenson for TJ Hockenson from Detroit. These interdivision trades that used to be taboo are far less taboo than they've ever been in the past. So I don't think, and this isn't even one that's in the division, of course, I don't think it would be a deal breaker by any means. But that could be a play there based on a 2020 trade that happened. 25 to San Francisco for pick 31, 124, and 176. If you're wondering, that's a late first, obviously, pick 31. It would be a late fourth and then the very last fifth round pick if they wanted to move down six spots. Again, the trade that happened in 2020. One that happened in 2019, it took pick 25, 127, and 197 to get to pick 22. So moving up three spots cost picks 127 and 197. Interestingly enough, Green Bay has pick 126 and pick 202. So an almost identical trade here that happened in 2019, where they could give picks 126 and 202, a sixth and a fourth to get up three spots to pick 22. That would be your sort of Cooper DeJean sort of trade, right? So if Green Bay's sitting at 25, DeJean's on the board at 22, he's their highest rated prospect. They could give up a fourth and a sixth to go up and get to pick 22 to get Cooper DeJean. Again, that was based on the 2019 trade. Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. While it's not Packer season anymore, there's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully, hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. In 2018, all right, team traded pick 25 along with pick 125 for pick 22 and 215. Again, Green Bay has pick 126 here, so a very identical trade. Pick 25 and 126 theoretically could get Green Bay 22 along with a six-round pick, pick 215, based on the trade that happened in 2018. In 2017, in order to get from pick 25 to pick 12, so let's say pick 12 was that Terry and Arnold sort of range and that you needed to make sure you got there, or maybe Byron Murphy, maybe Quinyon Mitchell, and it was like the last big time player that was on your board. You want to go from 25 to pick 12? Well, in 2017, that cost a future first round pick. So if Green Bay wants to trade away their 2025 first round pick along with their current first round pick, it would theoretically get them to pick 12. Now, one of the things to remember, there just so happens to be an event in Green Bay in 2025 that might limit Green Bay's willingness and want to and desire to trade a future first round pick away. And that, of course, is the draft that is happening in Green Bay in 2025. I don't know that there's going to be a huge appetite from the NFL, the Green Bay Packers, or really anyone to not have a first round pick in 2025. Now, I don't know if Goody gets a direct, hey, you can't trade that, or, you know, whatever. Goody is not one to trade away future first round picks anyway. But if there were theoretically that player that they love at 12, again, the trade in 2017 was pick 25 and a future first to get up to pick 12. In 2012, pick 25 went for pick 31 and 126. So Green Bay could pick up a fourth round pick to move down six spots. In 2010, pick 25 went for pick 43, 70, and 114. And Atlanta has very similar draft capital this year. So in 2010, it was 43. Atlanta has pick 43. In 2010, it was pick 70. This year, Atlanta has pick 74. And in 2010, it was pick 114. Atlanta has pick 109. So it would be a early second in pick 43, an early third in pick 74, and an early fourth in pick 109. So three top 100 picks, 43, 74, and 109 to move down from pick 25. Would that be worth it? Would it be worth moving down 18 slots to get an early third and an early fourth? Maybe, depending on how strong your board is when you're picking at pick 25. But it would be a tough pill to swallow, I think, to move down 18 spots, but it'd be an interesting one to pick up that early third and early fourth round pick in the process. In 2008, pick 25 went for pick 28, pick 163, and pick 235. The Bills have very similar draft capital this year. They have pick 28, 163, and 248. So the same 28 and 163 with a little bit of a later seventh round pick. Probably not a deal breaker there. So that would be to move down three spots. They pick up 163 and 248. In 2007, pick 25, 59 and 164 went for pick 14. So moving up from 25 to 14, and they also got pick 191 back in return. So they move up 11 spots to 14, and then they give up pick 59 and 164 and get back pick 191. Interesting one here. The Saints have pick 14 and 190. The Packers have picks 25, 58, and 169. So this is an almost identical trade that to what happened in 2007. I'll just say it one more time. It would be the Packers trading picks 25, their first round pick, pick 58, their second round pick, and then pick 169, which I think is a fifth round pick, maybe a sixth round pick. But that would be their trade. 25, 58, and 169 to the Saints for pick 14 and pick 190. This would be another scenario, and you could theoretically see why this one would play out. Green Bay wants to get Quinyon Mitchell or Terry and Arnold, specifically before the Colts pick at pick 15, who are known to likely want a cornerback at that spot. So they could get to pick 14, get that corner before the Colts take them. Meanwhile, the Saints could be looking to move back to pick 25. Maybe they want one of those quarterbacks that, you know, isn't taken in the top six. You know, Derek Carr is a little bit on shaky ground there. Maybe they want to get a Bo Nix. Maybe they want to get a Michael Penix, but they don't want to do it at pick 14. So they move down to pick 25 and get their quarterback there. That could maybe be a situation or scenario. Who knows? But if that were to be a situation where New Orleans was interested in trading down, Green Bay was interested in getting one of those corners before Indy picks, that could be a trade that makes sense there. In 2006, you had pick 25 go for picks 32, 96, and 129. A very similar haul that Kansas City has at their disposal right now. KC has picks 32, 95, and 131, almost identical to that trade in 2006. So Green Bay could move down seven spots, get the last pick in the first round, securing that fifth-year option still, because those are only exist in the first round. And in the meantime, getting a third and fourth round pick in exchange just for moving down those seven spots. And last but not least, from a historical standpoint in the first round, in 2005, 25, and this is the one I really want to talk about here. This is the one I really want to talk about. Pick 25 went all the way down to pick 76, moving down 51 spots, 25 to 76. But in return, they got a 2006 first and fourth round pick. So a future first and a future fourth the following year. It just so happens that pick 76 this year is the Denver Broncos. It just so happens that pick 76 is the Denver Broncos, who could very well be looking at a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix, more likely a Bo Nix at that spot. Not completely out of the realm of possibility. I've talked about this a little bit as like a second round trade, but I said, if you listened to my podcast the other day, I think it's more likely that they have to trade their first if they're going to do this sort of deal. If Denver were, what I'll just say, stupid enough to do this deal and give up pick 76 this year, a third round pick, and next year's first round pick and fourth round pick to get up to take Penix or Bo Nix at pick 25, you cannot say yes quick enough. That Broncos pick could quite easily be a top five pick in 2025. In Green Bay, we know what Goody's capable of. They would still have five picks in the top 100 this year. Yes, you do not have a first rounder anymore, but guess what? Pick 41 is going to be easily moved up if you want it to. If you want to get to pick 32, you can get there from pick 41. So if you really want to have that first round pick, you could still do it by, you know, manipulating pick 41 around to get to the end of the first round. And in the meantime, you pick up a first round pick in 2025 from arguably one of the worst teams in football with a division that has Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in it. That's going to be a very valuable pick next year. And a pick that could be a franchise-altering pick if that's in the top five. Imagine what Goody could do with that at his disposal next year. And Sean Payton, when he was with the Saints, they were known for making deals exactly like this. In fact, this was the team that traded up when Green Bay traded down in the Jaire Alexander and Goody's first draft. The Saints were the team that moved up to get Marcus Davenport, giving up a future first-round pick in the process. I don't even need the fourth rounder, by the way. You could take that fourth rounder off. You could just say pick 76 in a future first for pick 25. Oh my goodness. Like, sign me up right now. I could not say yes to that quick enough. And if they're willing to throw in the fourth too, by all means, take the fourth too. But you could not get me to say yes fast enough. Like, Denver could call and be like, we want it. Yes, we're in. We want your future first. Let's make it happen. That would be a massive deal. And again, it just so happens that Sean Payton was the one who traded up with Green Bay the last time they got that bonus first round pick. Just so happens that Sean Payton is usually the one that's involved with these sort of deals. And it just so happens that the team that was at pick 76 or like is at pick 76 in this draft is the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton. It's all coming together beautifully. It's meant to be. All right, let's take a look really quick at some of those later picks and some historical trends here. Pick 41 to pick 33. That was a deal that happened in 2023. It was 33 and 81 for 41, 72 in a future third round pick. That happened last year in a Will Levis trade for the Titans to get up and get Will Levis. In 2023, pick 87. The Packers have pick 88, but pick 87 went for 102, 164, and 222. So maybe moving down from pick 88-ish could get them a few picks in that scenario. Pick 89 and pick 128 went for pick 73 last year. The Packers have pick 88 and 126 that could go maybe moving up to pick 73. So let's say Green Bay third round really likes a player early in the third round. Trading either pick 88 or 91 with that fourth round pick theoretically should get them in that 73, 74 range based on a trade that happened last year. In 2021, team went from pick 42, which again, Green Bay has pick 41, all the way down to pick 50. So down eight spots, and they picked up a future third round pick in the process. In 2021, pick 88, which again, Green Bay has pick 88 exactly. That went for 117 and 121. So just two fourth round picks for pick 88 in that scenario. In 2020, pick 41 went for pick 44 and 160. And pick 88 went for a future third. Pick 88 in a future third went for pick 74. So if Green Bay wants to move up 14 spots, they could trade a future third in that scenario for pick 74. That's a deal that happened in 2020. In 2019, pick 42 went for pick 52, 125, and 182. In 2018, pick 41 went for pick 57 and pick 89. Tampa literally owns pick 57 and pick 89. So that could be a deal that they rehash there. Pick 88 went for pick 101 and 147. Two teams have similar capital. Carolina has 101 and 142. Seattle has 100 and 152. So either of those could be in play around pick 88. And last but not least, in 2017, pick 41 went for pick 48 and pick 128. So that's another hypothetical trade there. All right, really quickly, let's look at some of the trades just using the Rich Hill chart. These are theoretical, right? Of like what you could get just based on the Rich Hill chart. I think Rich Hill chart is my favorite draft chart and I think is closest to what actually happens. If Green Bay were to package their first two picks, 25 and 41, that would get them to pick 10 on the Rich Hill chart. 25 and 58, their second round pick, would get them to pick 14 or 15. Pick 25 plus pick 88 would get them to pick 19. 25 plus 91 would get them to pick 20, and pick 25 plus 126 would get them to pick 23 or 24. So they should theoretically be able to get to that 10 pick range or all the way, or I guess down to like 22, 23 using their fourth round pick. But yeah, those are some of the options early in the draft. Pick 41 plus pick 58. So their two second round picks should get them to pick 24, right around that range. So let's say Green Bay makes their selection. And you know, at pick 25, I know I just said pick 24, but it probably is more realistic at like pick 26. Let's say they make their pick at 25 and there's two players that are left first round on their board. And they love both of those players. Let's say it's Cooper DeJean and Graham Barton. I don't know who, doesn't matter. Let's say there's those two players and they don't know which one they like more. So they take one at pick 24 pick 25. And they immediately call team at pick 26 and say, we'll give you our 2 second round picks. Theoretically, that should get the job done. Pick 41 plus pick 88 should get them to pick 31. So if they wanted to get to the bottom of round one, trading up with their first second round pick and their first third round pick should get them in that range. Pick 41 plus 91, same thing. Pick 31, pick 32. Pick 41 plus their fourth round pick should get them to pick 36. So about five picks up. Pick 58, their second round pick plus their first third pick 88 should get them to pick 43. 58 plus 91 should get them to pick 44, and 58 plus 126 should get them to pick 51. Their two thirds together, 88 and 91, should get them to pick 59, bottom of round two. Their first third plus their fourth, 88 plus 126, should get them to pick 72. And pick 91 plus 126, their third and their fourth, should get them to pick 74. they wanted to do some trade downs based on the Rich Hill chart. Pick 25 would get them to pick 31 plus pick 94 from the 49ers. They own both of those picks. So 25 to the 49ers for 31 and 94. Pick 25 plus one of their seventh rounders, pick 219, should get them to pick 32 with the Chiefs and also pick up 95 and 173 in the process. So a third round pick and I think a sixth round pick there for first and a seventh. Pick 25 to pick 39. And they would pick up pick 65 in the process there. That's the Carolina Panthers. So they have 39 and 65. If Green Bay wanted to move down 14 spots, that could be a deal that makes sense. And then pick 25 for pick 36, plus pick 78, plus pick 222 in Washington. That's another equal trade. So 25 for 36, 78, and 222 with the Commanders. And again, they own those three picks. So those are sort of the Rich Hill trades that make sense. Those are some historical trades that make sense. What about some player trades that make sense? I've gone through a few of these players in the past on some trades that I thought made sense. Let's say Green Bay gets to day three. And specifically here, we're probably talking sixth, seventh round. And they look at their draft board of what they've acquired so far, and linebacker or safety just didn't get addressed the way that they wanted it to. I think there's three, you know, linebackers that could theoretically make some sense here. And I've talked about these in the past. Channing Tindall from the Dolphins, who's a former third round pick from Georgia. They've barely used him. They have not carved out a role for him. He has no real spot right to make a role with Miami. Maybe Green Bay says his former running mate is Quay Walker at Georgia. We'll trade you a sixth round pick. We'll take Channing Tindall and see if he can work in Green Bay. Same thing with Chad Muma in Jacksonville. And same thing with Drew Sanders in Denver. None of those three players have a great avenue for playing time with their specific teams. If Green Bay gets to day three and they start looking and they didn't get any of the top linebackers and they look at the draft board and it's like, oh, it's not great. We don't think a lot of these players could come in and help us. Maybe you call one of those three teams, Channing Tindall of the Dolphins, Chad Muma of the Jaguars, or Drew Sanders of the Broncos and say, hey, can we get one of these guys? And then same thing with Richie Grant at safety for the Falcons. Hasn't really quite lived up to his draft status and expectations in Atlanta. I do think he fits very well as a box safety, and I think he'd fit well next to Xavier McKinney. If you get through the first three, four rounds of the draft and you didn't pick up a safety, and you're looking at, again, the depth of the class and the depth chart on your team, you're like, oh, we don't really have a guy. Maybe you call Atlanta for Richie Grant and see if you can get something done there for like a six-round pick. I think those are some players to keep an eye on day three if Green Bay does not address linebacker or safety early in this draft. The overall moral of this story is that Goody should have a ton of flexibility, a lot of options, and a lot of opportunities to move up and down the draft board if he so chooses. And that's a great place to be in if you're the Packers and if you're Brian Gutekunst. That is going to do it for me today. Sorry for the numbers, but this stuff I love just kind of going through and seeing what options might be out there. Hope you guys like the episode. Make sure to check it out 365 days a year. Like, subscribe. You know, check out those Packaday podcast YouTube memberships. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Wang. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.